Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Lots and lots of good stuff to talk about today. We are going to be talking with author Joan Barnes. She's also the CEO of Gymboree. We're going to be talking all about her new book, Play It Forward. And we're going to be talking about a very interesting and controversial story that has popped up in Mount Prospect and catching ourselves up on this story going on with T-Mobile and all this free stock. There's lots to talk about there. Lots and lots to do today on the show. But right now, it is time to catch up with our good friend Cassie Walker-Burke, who is the assistant managing editor at Cranes Chicago, all about a story, a list that Cranes has right now about Chicago's 50 fastest growing companies. Hey, Cassie, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Amy?
Good. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks.
So talk to us about these 50 fastest growing companies, this list that Cranes has put together.
So Cranes has been putting together this list since 2007, and so this is almost our 10th year of doing it. And so what we do is we look at the 50 fastest growing companies by revenue. So how their revenues in 2015 compared to 2010. And so one of the things I think that's the most interesting about this list is how that mix of companies has changed since 2007. So what you would expect, right, is that we have fewer manufacturers, we have more tech companies, but we also have more advertising and marketing companies than we did initially, and more real estate companies.
I wouldn't have guessed real estate necessarily, but I suppose that is on the uptick for sure. So I want to talk about this, the top three, and that is Signal, Sprout Social, and Redwood SCS. Let's start with Signal and talk about them and what they do.
Sure. It's an advertising software firm. So basically, this company helps big companies like The Gap and Allstate track customers no matter where customers are. So whether customers are coming to them via the phone or to the stores, it helps them tailor deals to you no matter where you are. So that shirt you've been kind of eyeballing, they're going to help you figure out how to get the best deal no matter how you are looking at it, whether it's on the phone or in the store. And so this company is about 130 people, and they're hiring. They're growing really fast. That's number one company. And then Sprout Social is also a tech company. That's the second company on the list. And that's a social media analytics company, $22 million company that has seen a lot of growth.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen and heard a lot from and about Sprout Social. I know we've talked about them on this show for sure, because they've, I think, so quickly got into, really endeared themselves to a lot of Chicago companies and I think just joined that conversation really early on in the social media, in the social media play as that started to become a part of business that companies really couldn't ignore. It seemed like Sprout was right there in that conversation right away.
That's true. And, you know, when we did our 20 and our 20 in their 20s list, we had one of their awesome coders on that list. And she was so active in the tech community. And I really found that they hire people who are just out there, doing different, whether it's Girls Who Code, whether it's different groups, they're really out there in the community, which I think is a really cool feature of that company as well.
Definitely. And they've had some really great milestones that they've hit. I mean, when they got in 2010, they launched and they had that 1.1 million from Lightbank. I think that's helped, get everybody talking about them so early on. But then they raised another 10 million the following year. They reached 100 employees the year, in 2014, 2015, their customers reached this huge number. It seems like they just keep hitting these milestones. And in a way that's interesting, and maybe this is part of the culture there that you're talking about, but it seems like when they hit a milestone, so many people know it. We all kind of hear about it, and that maybe is because they tend to hire people that are just naturally evangelists for the company and for the work. Could be.
Yeah, I think so. They also have a huge customer base. their customer base is now 15,000, which is really impressive for a fairly young company.
Right. And then this year, speaking of impressive, they added that $42 million from Goldman Sachs and New Enterprise Associates, which is another, that's a huge milestone. If we just look at since 2010 in their launch, like that's a very short time to be hitting these numbers. And so that really, that speaks to them and the work they're doing. So how about Redwood SCS? What are they up to?
So this is a logistics company. So this is a transport and supply chain company. And so that kind of shows you logistics is another big player on the list this year. And so Redwood has basically done, they've kind of figured out that their customers don't want, and a lot of times in logistics, you have companies that are either trying to outsource everything or they're just investing a lot in-house. This company is kind of allows its customers to do both. They're really customizing packages for their customers, which you don't always see in logistics. So really, it's a customer service story, which I think is a pretty interesting story when you're looking at transportation management, essentially.
Definitely. And on that note of the idea of customizing packaging for customers, how is that manifesting and who are they working with when they're doing that? Where do we see that playing out?
Well, I think that they are, I think that they are able to work with companies across the country. And I think that they, I'm blanking on what who some of their clients are at the moment. But, I think that they are basically a great customer service company.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting to see how, how logistics companies are starting to shift to answer the market. And I think more customization is really just such a bigger and bigger piece of that conversation. I think people are not satisfied with kind of a one size fits all solution anymore, either for their business or for their customers. It seems like everything needs to be more and more customized as consumers become more sophisticated with the things that they need and want.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, I also saw another thing I noticed on this list was that some of the other logistics companies maybe have not always been known for investing in their own people in the same way, because a lot of times they work with contractors. There were a few companies on this list that really made a point of saying, we are really trying to be open about our financials. We're really trying to be transparent with the people that we employ. We're really trying to keep people around and avoid that churn. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been actually kind of a game changer for some of these logistics companies, being able to hold on to staff for a long time.
Yeah.
And you see that actually in some other industries on this list too, that the investment in people has actually been one of their growth strategies.
Definitely. I think that very topic has come up many times on this show as we are looking at different startups and wins of companies, in the Midwest. It's been this recurring theme around this new level of transparency that I think people really need and want, the workers anyway, really need and want in their companies that they want to stick with. They really want, and then consumers too, really want to know more and more about where did the product come from? Where are these things sourced? Where these, I think, consumers ask more and more, and really great questions to keep people accountable. All right, well, thank you so much, everybody. Head to Cranes Chicago. You can go to chicagobusiness.com, and you can find this list of the 50 fastest growing companies in Chicago. Cassie Walker-Burke, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Amy.
All right. Have a great Saturday. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about T-Mobile and how they're giving away free stock. But before you jump on that, there might be some things to consider. So stick around. We'll be right back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday with us, especially on such a beautiful sunny day. I hope you are outside and enjoying it wherever you are and whatever you're doing. All right, my friends, I don't know if you've been following this story, but T-Mobile is giving away free stocks. And there are, before you get super excited about that, there are some things you might want to consider. And so to help us think through that is our friend Janelle Marte, who is a reporter covering personal finance at Washington Post. Hi there. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me.
So help us make sense of all this. And, so T-Mobile has got this plan to give away free stock, but there are many things to consider. But let us start first with why on earth are they doing this?
So this is a very unique effort from the company to keep its customers and to win over people who might be, you know, over at one of their competitors. There's so much saturation right now in the market that the companies are really getting creative to sort of keep their customers and give them another reason to stay around.
And so do we, I mean, is it as we're, the reaction is sort of starting to roll in and people are, you know, kind of drawing a line in the sand one way or the other on this. I mean, is it, will it work? Does it, is it working already?
So, I mean, I don't know if it's working already. It's been just a couple of days or maybe a week. But, I mean, you are seeing the company here, you know, it's creating a lot of buzz. It's not a move that we have seen from many industries at all, and especially not in the cell phone industry. And, you know, for some people, it will give them a bigger stake in the company and give them a reason to stay a little longer. I mean, for some of these customers, it may be their first time owning any stock at all outside of their retirement account. And it can, I mean, we'll see if it works, but it's a gamble on their part.
Right. And so T-Mobile, who their customer base tends to be a little bit younger than their competitors, as you note, this could be kind of the first investment or an early investment. We're not talking about a lot of people that have been investing a long time or have a lot of experience with investing. But the downside is that this could potentially create quite a big tax headache for people who are first-time investors. So explain that part for us.
Sure. So for the people who will really take advantage of this, and let's say, you know, they can earn a stock by referring another customer to T-Mobile. And if for the people who really refer a lot of other customers and get more than one share, it can become a little bit complicated when it comes to taxes. For instance, you know, the first share that everyone receives under this program, the company is saying that it won't be taxable because it'll be sort of processed as a credit on your account. But if you get more than one share, you will actually have to report that you received that share on your tax return when you file next year. Because even if it's a small amount, right, the shares are now at about $43 or around there, but you still have to report it as income because you'll get a 1099 from T-Mobile that tells the IRS that you got this money in. So just as any other income, you need to put it on your tax return and pay taxes on it. So again, if you're only getting, you know, two shares or so, it's not going to be a huge tax bill. But you do have to think about it come tax time and make sure that you report that income.
No good deed goes unpunished, right? Referring friends will get you a big old tax bill. Well, you know, it's interesting as companies are shifting and trying to do, you know, more creative things to attract customers. And it's not surprising coming from T-Mobile, given they're one of their chief executives who is kind of known for a pretty entertaining Twitter feed, I would say. But what other companies are doing things like this that are a little bit outside of the box to try to incentivize customers to come over to them?
I mean, I think this is a very unique effort that we really haven't seen in the mobile phone industry. Mm-hmm. You often do hear of credit or other sorts of discounts, things like that. But to give the customers a stake in the company, I mean, we'll see how that pays off. And it also will be seen, you know, later on, how do people deal with this? Because when they sell that share, then they could face another attack.
Sounds like we lost her. Okay, well, anyway, you can find this story about T-Mobile's plan to give away free stocks and how it could create a tax headache for millions of first-time investors. If you are considering this, you definitely want to read this story that she wrote. Janelle Marte, thank you for being with us today. You can find that story at WashingtonPost.com. All right, we'll be back here in just a little bit, and we're going to be talking with author Joan Barnes and talking about a store in Mount Prospect that has opened, and a lot of people are not very happy about it. So we're going to be talking about that here in just a bit on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm.
720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. You know, my friends, the Printers Row Live Fest is happening just over there in the South Loop, and I hope you can make it there this weekend because there's always so much to see and do and so many books to buy. It's so hard to not leave with piles and piles of books. And one event you should definitely not miss at all, that is tomorrow, Sunday, at the Blake Hotel. My next guest, author Joan Barnes, will be there in conversation with Michelle Weldon, talking about their memoirs. Her book is called Play It Forward, but you probably know her as the founder and former CEO of Gymboree. So welcome to the show. We're so glad that you're here today, Joan.
Thank you, Amy.
And so your book came out in May, and you are busily promoting it and doing all kind of fun stuff to talk about it. But what prompted the book, really, why right now? Why was it the right time to write the memoir?
Well, you know, it wasn't something that was on my bucket list, but I've been asked very generously to go to many women's entrepreneur conferences. And I guess a lot of people don't really tell the truth. They hyperbolize the brand, and Gymboree was a major ride for me. And in building the company, I was a little bit of the first wave of the women's movement. And I developed an eating disorder, which was very private and secretive while I was building the company. And so I left in what seemed like an orderly transition from founder to seasoned CEO.
Sure.
And when I tell those stories to these young, eager eyes, like, I want to be like you and build an iconic brand, all of these young women would say, where's the book? I want the full story. Mm. And they would come up and self-disclose their own issues with food, weight, and body image issues.
How interesting.
And I thought, you know what? Maybe I do have a book.
Yeah.
Because I had a reinvention story. And so Play It Forward, from Gymboree to the Yoga Mat and Beyond, which is the title of the book, just felt like it could really impact women's lives. Because it's not just my story. It is the story of all of us. It's about our ups, our downs, our inversions, our curves, and coming back up again.
Sure. And there's so much power in when you read something, or if you have a conversation with someone and you suddenly go, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one.
Absolutely. And women, you know, we used to sit around the kitchen table and tell our stories. And when we would tell our stories, we would feel so heard and validated. And each time we tell our stories, we become more true and more real. And now what we do is we hit the like button, or we say one line, and it's just not quite the same,
right,
as the power of being together. And this is what we're doing. We're now telling our stories. And Play It Forward, from Gymboree to the Yoga Mat and Beyond, is, as I say, it's our collective story. And I'm really finding, by being on the road and being in independent bookstores, coming, talking to you, Amy, gives women the opportunity to say, what's my story?
Hmm.
Who am I? And what have I lived? And where am I going?
And so if a young entrepreneur were to read your book, what lessons there, you know, what would the takeaways be that you would hope she would get?
Ah, very good question. I would like to say to the young entrepreneur, follow your heart. Make sure you're doing something that you're passionate about. Think one step at a time. Think baby steps. Sometimes we scare ourselves because we get very grand thinking, grandiose. And really, it's about organic steps. I never had a grand vision. If I thought Gymboree was going to be a national company, an international company, a global brand, I would never have gone. It just came from my heart. I just wanted to, you know, like most entrepreneurs, we do something because we're solving a problem for ourselves. And then if it works for us and it works for other people, then we take the next step and then the next step. And that's how it grows. So my advice there is to do something that means something to you. And then with that you have passion for, because passion endures. Profit is a byproduct.
And there's always going to be a tough time. I think that passion will get you through those kind
there's
of tedious things.
There's going to be many tough times, many, many tough times. And when you just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and just get back out there, because that's what's going to keep you motivated.
Right. I really like this idea of taking organic steps. Really, really like that, because I think so many times entrepreneurs will feel something in their gut and think, I really think this is the next move, but I don't think it makes sense. I hear people say that a lot and say something like, this may make zero sense, but I'm thinking of doing this. And I think that's important to trust.
You know,
that.
Your native Oprah Winfrey talks about her gut being her GPS. And far be it for me to argue with Oprah Winfrey.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, I've been at enough entrepreneurial conferences to tell you that that is the great crystal ball of entrepreneurialism, which is your gut. Even seasoned business people will tell you, no matter how much research and data that comes across their desk, if it doesn't feel right, they're not doing it either.
Mm.
So your gut is your treasure chest.
That's very good advice. And as you were going through this process, after you built this step-by-step through these organic steps, built this empire with Gymboree, what was that transition into the yoga world like for you?
Right. Well, it didn't happen seamlessly. As I said, Amy, one of the things I would also caution entrepreneurs to do is to be sure while they have passion for it, that they are also lining up to what's true for their own abilities, and whether or not this is lining up with the other value systems in their lives, whatever else is going on. I was trying to be a good partner to my husband, a good mother to my children, a good daughter to my, you know, a sister to the great family of friends that I was creating. And the ubiquitous "can you have it all" wasn't working for me. And this was a time where we didn't talk too much about our insecurities and our vulnerabilities. So I was developing a serious eating disorder through all of this. So when I had a crash and burn and I left, it was quite a while before I came to the yoga business. I left for a year at a treatment center, which is a gift to me, and had a big transformation. I thought I was going away for 30 days. It ended up being a year. All of it's detailed in Play It Forward, from Gymboree to the Yoga Mat and beyond. And then when I returned to California, I did find yoga. And something happened to me that day in my first yoga class. I can't really say what it was. It's like all sort of spiritual transformations. And please forgive my language. I'm from California, so but something changed. And because I'm a consummate entrepreneur, I wanted to offer that possibility to others. And so I started a yoga business, and I wanted to have that yoga business be a little bit like a Gymboree franchise. I wanted to be just a little franchisee conceptually and have a small business in my town. And it was extremely successful.
But at some point, perhaps the yoga business part started to impact your own yoga practice.
Absolutely. Seems. And then 9/11 happened, and who can't remember where they were and what the impact of that event was on your own lives. And so 9/11, 2002, I opened a second yoga studio, and I just wanted to make a difference. I wanted to have another place for people to congregate. There was a dearth of a place for community to gather. And that's my passion. In the high-tech world, I'm a low-tech girl. I like community. And then, you know, people said, "Oh, you're the Gymboree lady," and started throwing money at me. And I, you know, old patterns die hard, opened a third studio. And then this real lesson that I would like to offer people is, what is your value system? And I started to listen more deeply inside of me, which was to say, this is not what I want. I want to be a softer, gentler life. And I don't want to have a big rollout again. And so it's one thing to listen. It's another thing to act.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took a very courageous and bold move, even though I'd had solicited a very capable young management team and had new money. I sold the business to a national chain called Yoga Works. And I'm a very serious yoga practitioner. You'll see me every day at yoga, but I'm no longer in the yoga business.
Mm.
And that's another lesson of Play It Forward, from Gymboree to the Yoga Mat and beyond.
Yeah, to really trust your gut.
And
so as you came forward and went public and opened yourself to be, you know, so wonderfully vulnerable about your struggle with an eating disorder, how has the reaction been to that?
People are so grateful. I want to also mention that I started a nonprofit called Begin From Within for other people who are struggling with food, weight, and body issues, which I think is probably 90% of females. You know, it's hard to find a woman that says, "I love my body. I think it's the greatest thing going." I mean, maybe they're not bulimic like I was, but they're along the continuum. So having an opportunity for women to face, and in yoga, we learn to love our bodies and love the capacity that they have. I feel it has given, the book has given women the opportunity to see the real value of what it means to have equanimity in their lives, have a chance to know who they are, and, as I say, to listen in, line up, and act out from that place. And there's a sisterhood, there's a community of saying, I see myself in these words. I'm riding side saddle with this story.
Excellent words to live by, everybody. The book, again, it is called Play It Forward, From Gymboree to the Yoga Mat and Beyond, and it is by Joan Barnes, founder and former CEO of Gymboree. You can find her tomorrow at the Printers Row Lit Fest. She will be with Michelle Weldon talking about memoir in conversation with Barb Mahaney, so you definitely want to get to that if you are downtown for the Printers Row Lit Fest. Say hello. I'm sure she'll autograph a book for you, all of those good things. And where can people find you on social media?
They can find me on Facebook. They can find me on Joan Barnes_@Twitter. The book is available on wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Indie Books, all over the place.
We always want to support the indies, definitely.
Yeah, and in there, we did a reading, and there's signed books out at Bookstall in Winnetka.
Excellent. That's a great, great bookshop. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and we will all find you tomorrow at the Printers Row Lit Fest, and we will all run out and get your book right away.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much. All right, my friends, we'll be right back on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we are going to be talking about a shop in Mount Prospect that is raising a lot of questions here on the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Okay, the song that we're playing right now is going to crack you up in a minute because, holy moly, have we got an interesting business story for you. And that is, there is a very controversial new store in Mount Prospect. It is selling adult diapers to people in the fetish community that wish to dress as babies. So we're not talking about adult diapers in the medical need way. We're talking about it in the let your freak flag fly kind of way. So do your thing, right? So to talk about that, we are joined by our good friend May Rice, who's the associate editor at Chicagoist. Hi, May. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, this is a kind of different story and certainly one that we have not seen coming out of Mount Prospect lately. So talk to us about what is going on with this store.
Well, so I spoke to the owner of the store for a story. His name is John Michael Williams, and he identifies as an adult baby, which means he is part of a community that enjoys role-playing as babies, but the people are adults. And so he's basically using this store in Mount Prospect as an office, is my understanding, for his web business where he sells adult diapers worldwide. And there's also some, you know, it's a little eye-catching because there's a lot of adult-sized children's toys on the premises. It sounds like there's a rocking horse and a crib that's the right size for an adult and some other kind of props that they use for photo shoots that people can sort of play on for a second if they stop by to pick up an order. But it's mostly an office, and then people drop by to pick up orders if they live in the Mount Prospect area and I guess need diapers. So that's my understanding of what the store is.
Well, it's certainly, you know, no judgment. Everybody, hey, do your thing, do whatever you want behind closed doors, right? But it's an interesting one. I think one maybe a lot of people don't really think about. But yet, the owner has noted though that he opened it in Mount Prospect just because he lives there and he needed an office, and that's a convenient spot. But he says that in Chicago, just like many big cities, there's a substantial community of people who identify as an adult baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it sounds like Chicagoland is a place with plenty of people interested in his product.
It is super, super interesting. And, you know, as like reading through this, you know, there's so many, you know, there's so many like pieces to that, right? We've heard of, you know, it seems like he's like using this primarily like to store stuff that he uses for trade shows and things he's shipping all around the world and things like that. But there has been a pretty big uproar in the community. So talk to us about that. What are people in Mount Prospect saying? Are they not perhaps embracing this so open-mindedly?
Well, you know, for my story, I primarily spoke to him. But we did get an email from someone in the Mount Prospect area who said that that she didn't like the store. It sounds like a lot of people in Mount Prospect have been sort of protesting to local government about it, and no one has really spoken to the owner directly. And it's sort of unclear what the uproar in the community is about, like what the root concern is. I think it seems like a lot of people just didn't know this type of fetish existed, and they're sort of uncomfortable because they just learned something new and they want the government to kind of shut down the store because of this or force it to move. But there's not really, it doesn't seem like there's really a legal reason to do that. So it sounds like things are kind of at an impasse right now.
Right. Right.
As, understanding.
Right. As you point out that it's, you know, it's just people maybe who haven't heard of this or kind of making assumptions about what's going to go on at the store, things like that. There was a board meeting, I think last week though, and a representative of the, of Mount Prospect said there's really not much that, that can be done to shut it down unless the owner like breaks a law or does some kind of like a, does something to change a, like a zoning law, something like that. So it seems like there's not much to be done, but it is interesting to see how people have been reacting on social media. I mean, it's been an interesting mixture of hey, what people do is their business. It's not hurting anyone, whatever you're into. And then also like a little bit of horror. People are kind of going, well, I don't know that I want to be around that. But again, hey, whatever you do behind closed doors, that's your business, right?
Yeah, and it sounds like, I mean, from my conversation with Williams, it sounds like he is being super sort of responsible about how he's running the store, and he was very upfront with the village of Mount Prospect, it sounds like, about sort of the fact that most people are using his product for a sexual purpose, even though it's not, like, there's nothing explicitly sexual about a diaper. And so he said he's not letting anyone under 18 in the store, and you can only visit by appointment. And it sounds like there's a lot of sort of safeguards to prevent anything untoward happening to an unsuspecting person who like wanders in. And I don't know. That seems extremely unlikely.
Sure.
All pretty responsibly.
Yeah, there's a story at Washington Post that notes there was a National Geographic show called Taboo that did a segment about the adult baby community that was really interesting and kind of gives an inside look at kind of what that's about and what some of the role playing things are and what that I think could that are probably connected to this store here in Mount Prospect too.
That sounds cool.
Right. Well, we shall see. So, all right. Well, thanks for keeping us updated about this. We will keep turning to you at Chicagoist for more about this and many, many other stories in our area. Thanks so much, May Rice, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break and get you to news and then turn you over to King John. We'll be back in just a bit on 720 WGN.